Welcome to Torah Simecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Hochheimer, and today we will be studying Yirmiyahu chapter 3. In the last parak, we learned about how Bnei Yisrael rejected Hashem to live a freer lifestyle, ignoring the love Hashem has for them and take no responsibility for the consequence of their actions. This parak continues along this theme. This nevuah emphasizes Hashem's love and how the Jewish people can always do teshuvah. To help the people understand the depth of Hashem's love, Yirmiyahu begins with a parable. He asks, "A woman was unfaithful to her husband and is caught. What is the potential for the relationship? Hayashuv eleha od? May he return to her again? If the man were to return to his wife, halo chanof tachanaf ha'aretahi, would the land not be greatly polluted? The halacha is that the spouses must divorce. In contrast, Bnei Yisrael were unfaithful, yet Hashem will take them back if they would just do teshuvah." Rav Nevinzal Shlita tells us why. Even when the Jewish people sin, in their heart and at their core, they are still good people, and they were never truly unfaithful. Hashem will always see our essence and accept the teshuvah. "Shuv elai," says Hashem, "just return to me." Using graphic language, Yirmiyahu tries to break through the denial he has described in the last parak. He tells Bnei Yehuda to self-reflect. They have acted like a harlot who sits at the crossroads looking for opportunities to sin. Likewise, Yehuda was seduced by every passing fad of Avodah Zarah that they encountered. The consequences for their unfaithfulness is a drought, a lack of water. But the Jewish people are stubborn and refuse to admit fault or be ashamed by their behavior. Instead, they act as if they are pure and reach out to Hashem in their times of distress. Verse 4, "Karas li avi," you call out, my father, alufnu rayata, you are the friend of my youth. This is a completely insincere prayer as they only want rain. They say, verse 5, "Hayin tor li olam," will he bear a grudge forever? Yehuda assumes that eventually Hashem will give up on trying to change them and they can go back to life as they enjoy it. Hinei dibart, behold you have spoken and said you have changed. Vata'asi hara'os vatuchal, but you continue to do evil things. This you were able to get away with. They never did a sincere teshuvah. The next part of the parak, beginning with Pasuk Vav, verse 6, begins a new nevuah. The Pasuk tells us that this nevuah took place in the time of Yoshiyahu in the 18th year of his reign, which is the year Yoshiyahu fully committed to doing tshuva. Approximately 100 years before, the kingdom of Israel was exiled by Ashur. Many cities in Yehuda were also exiled at this time. Yirmiyahu explains to Yehuda why Yisrael was punished. He calls Yisrael, Meshuva Yisrael, the faithless nation of Israel. Using the metaphor we have seen in the last parak, Yirmiyahu tells us that Yisrael was unfaithful on every hill and in every verdant location by serving Avodah Zarah. Yirmiyahu mentions the sins of Yisrael as an object lesson. Hashem thought that Yehuda would see the Avodah Zarah and the resulting destruction and exile and be driven to do Teshuvah. Yehuda saw this. Hashem gave Yisrael what amounts to a bill of divorce and they sent her away. Yehuda sees all this and has no impact on their behavior. Instead, they adopt all the unfaithful idolatry of Israel. Verse 8, "Velo yara bogeda Yehuda, achosa batelech vatizen gamhi." Treacherous Yehuda, her sister, was not afraid, but she also went and played the harlot. Yehuda doesn't recognize, says Rav Royer, how it was acting in a way that was similar to Yisrael, so it had no reason to be afraid. They were self-righteous and assumed they were correct, rather than seeing that they were also unfaithful to Hashem. They don't take a lesson from the sins of Yisrael to implement any safeguards in their society. Instead, they fall into the same trap, even though they should have had the benefit of experience. Even worse, in public, they act like religious Jews, but in private, they sin. Verse 10, "V'gam b'chol zos," and yet for all of this, Yehuda does not do tshuva with a full heart, ki im b'sheker, only falsely. Hashem can see a person's motivations. Hashem is attesting that Yehuda just worries about how they look and not about who they really are. The religious observance is superficial and cultural, but inauthentic. In particular, when Yoshiyahu wants to remove all the idols in the 18th year of his reign, the people continue to serve the idols in private. Yoshiyahu's misimpression of his nation made him refuse Paro's Necho's passage in the country. Without the protection of the Torah and mitzvos of the people, Yoshiyahu was killed in battle. Hashem, to some extent, accepts the honesty of Yisrael as sinners more than the deception of Yehuda. Verse 11. Tzidka nafsha mishuva Yisrael mibogeda Yehuda. Faithless Israel has proven herself more righteous than treacherous Yehuda. Yehuda is called bogeda, while Yisrael is called mishuva. Yisrael was at least upfront in their infidelity, while Yehuda acted like a backstabber, acting righteously in public while really rebelling against Hashem in private. Hashem now assigns Yirmiyahu a task. He is to go to the north and try to get members of Yisrael to come back. According to Rashi, Yirmiyahu traveled to the north and returned with a handful of members of the tribes from Yisrael. According to the Radak, these events did not actually occur. Yirmiyahu is trying to convince Yehuda to repent by showing Hashem is merciful and does not bear grudges forever. In either case, whether this happened or was symbolic, there is one condition Hashem puts for accepting teshuva. Hashem needs the nation to admit that they were wrong. They cannot be in denial. Verse 13, Achdi avoneich ki b'Hashem elokayach pasha'at. Only acknowledge your sins, because against Hashem your God have you sinned. Rav Breuer adds that they wasted so much time trying one idol or another. Batifazri es darachakayach lezarim. You scattered your path to strangers. Instead of getting distracted by every new shiny fad of Avodah Zarah, Yehuda, or Yisrael, depending on the actual audience of the speech, needs to focus on their spiritual goals of staying connected to Hashem. Yirmiyahu encourages the people. Pasuk 14, Shuvu vanim shovavim. Return, faithless children. Right now, the nation is shovavim, unfaithful. Nonetheless, they are still Hashem's banim, his children. All they need to do is shuvu, do tshuva, and return to Hashem, and they will resume being Hashem's children with no further consequences. Ki anochi ba'alti bachem, because I have entered into a marriage with you. Despite any sin, when Yehuda and Yisrael do tshuva, Hashem forgives them and takes them back as his nation. Despite the unfaithfulness, B'nai Yisrael never loses the status of a wife with all the love that entails. There are two opinions in the commentaries. The psukim that follow are either talking about the present, where Yirmiyahu brings back a few refugees from Yisrael, or about the times of Mashiach. Yirmiyahu paints a beautiful picture of what is to come, either immediately if he is returning members of Yisrael, or in the distant future. Hashem will bring back survivors to Israel. There will be few survivors who return from any one location, but even the few who survive will be brought back. The Mishpasot Zahav says that Hashem will never give up on a single Jew, even if he is alone in a remote location in exile. Every Jew is important. Hashem will give Bnei Israel shepherds, leaders, who will lead them with wisdom and understanding. The nation had been so hurt by the corrupt leaders in the past. Now, Yoshiyahu is a good leader who can help Israel repent, or, in the times of Mashiach, we will have strong, faithful leaders then as well. Verse 16, V'hayu ki tirbu ufrisem. When they come back to Israel, the nation will multiply and be fruitful. This phrase is strange. In Bereishis, we are commanded to pru urivu, be fruitful and multiply. Here, it says that they will multiply and then be fruitful. According to Rav Breuer, the Shorash Reish Beis Hei means to pass along one's faith and values. For there to be a true geula in the future, the nation must first establish themselves as a nation built on Jewish values, ethics, and observances. Only then, after there are they revu, will they peru, become great in number. The psukim continue to describe how, during the geula, Hashem's throne will be in Yerushalayim, and all nations will recognize Hashem and his mastery over the world. Hashem will also remove the obstacle, the Yetzer Hara, from their hearts. At the time of the redemption, there will be another change. Lo yomu od aron bris Hashem, v'lo ya'aleh alev, v'lo yizkru bo, v'lo yifkodu, v'lo ye'asebo od. They will no longer say, the Aron, the Ark, the covenant of Hashem. It won't come to mind. They won't mention it, or miss it, or make one again. In the times of Yoshiyahu, and at the time of the Geula, there will not be an Aron. During the first Beis HaMikdash, the Aron was housed in the Kodesh HaKadashim, and it held both sets of Luchos. It was only seen once a year on Yom Kippur, and was an important part of the service in the Beis HaMikdash. When Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash, he included a room where the Aron could be hidden. In Yoshiyahu's time, it got hidden away. Even in the time of Geula, when all will be perfect, Hashem does not want the Aron again. Rav Breuer notes that the meaning and symbolism of the Aron had been corrupted. The Aron, which held the Luchos, represented the law. Yehuda assumed if they just served Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash with the Aron, they could do whatever they wanted on their off hours. This led to the dual life they had at the time of Yirmiyahu. They were connected in the Mishkash and disconnected outside of it. The focus of the Beis HaMikdash was never meant to be the Aron. The Aron and all the vessels were always meant to be a conduit to serve Hashem. Since the nation confused the message with the object, the focus in the time of the Geula will only be on serving Hashem with no symbolic vessels. Pasuk 18. In this idyllic future of hope, the nation of Yehuda and Israel will join and leave the Galus. Hashem will give them their inheritance in the land of Israel. Hashem has always wanted to give us the good of Israel, but we corrupted our ways. In the future, he will give us an Eretz Chemda Nachlas Tzvi, a pleasant land, a splendid inheritance. But right now, at the time Yirmiyahu is talking, this idyllic life is not the reality. V'gadetzem bi Beis Yisrael. Yisrael acted treacherously with Hashem. Having described the sins and the potential glory of the future, Yirmiyahu now models, according to the Radak, how the nation should do tshuva. If they follow Yirmiyahu's guidance and script, they would be saved. Pasuk 21. Kol al shifayayim nishma. A voice should be heard in the high places. The nation should return to all the places they abandoned Hashem and weep for their misbehavior, which will lead to being forgiven. Verse 22. Shuvu vanim shovavim, erpa mishuvosechem. Return, faithless children, and I will heal your faithlessness. All Hashem wants is for us to dedicate ourselves to Hashem and acknowledge what we did wrong. If we do so, Hashem will heal our soul. Yirmiyahu continues with the appropriate script we should say. Hinenu osanu lach kiata Hashem Elokeinu. Here we are. We come to you because you are Hashem, our God. The first part of tshuva must be vidoy, an admission of what was done wrong. Yirmiyahu tells the nation to proclaim how useless was all their service of idols in the valleys and on the hills. Truly, only Hashem is the salvation of Israel. It is important to acknowledge how terrible what happened in the past was so that there can be change in the future. Without admitting to fault, change is fleeting. There is a place for shame and guilt as a tool to redirect the future. The nation should say, verse 24, Vaboshes achla as yegia avosenu minurenu. The shame, meaning the idolatry, devoured the work of our fathers from our youth. As a result of our fathers' evil ways, they lost everything, their sheep, their cattle, their sons and daughters. In verse 25, Yirmiyahu continues to model the way they should respond. Nishkiva vivashtenu usichasenu kilima senu. Let us lie down in our shame and let our confusion cover us. We model our vidoy after how it is expressed by Yirmiyahu. Ki lahashem elokeinu chatanu anachnu v'avosenu minu'urenu v'ad hayom hazeh. For we have sinned against Hashem our Lord, we and our fathers from our youth until this day. In this perek, Hashem once again expresses his love and says that the nation will be forgiven as long as they do teshuva. He goes to the north, either figuratively to act as if he is calling back Israel, or he actually goes to get them. Yirmiyahu teaches the nation how they can admit they did wrong so they can grow, rather than being in denial or being fake, which leads to staying stuck in the sin. For ourselves, the model of tshuva outlined by Yirmiyahu is still relevant today, as this is our model for our vidui, our confession of Yom Kippur. If we want to become better, we need to be honest about what we have done wrong and clearly acknowledge the results of this behavior. By doing this, we are able to find ways to improve. If we can't fully attest to what we have done, we will be mired in shame, trying to hide from Hashem how bad we are, which will only lead us to sin more. While the initial admission is hard, living a lie is even harder. Thank you for studying together, Le'iloi Nishmas, Riva Schwab, Rivka Bas Alexander Sender.